Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 33 under the theme, A Glimpse of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word, a place where we can come to learn about you and grow in our knowledge of you. And so we pray that you would bless us today as we come to that word, that we would be challenged by it and comforted by it and encouraged by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Even Moses needed encouragement. Even Moses needed the assurance that God was with him. Now, this is Moses we're talking about. He's called the man of God several times in the Old Testament. He's the leader of Israel, spokesman before Pharaoh. We've been hearing lots of readings about Moses over the last few months, and if you trace his life story, it's just an incredible one. Born in Egypt, but to Jewish parents. He's hidden away in the Nile. He's found by the Pharaoh's daughter. He's adopted by her. He grows up. He's entangled in this dispute between an Egyptian and an Israelite, and he tries to defend one and make peace with the other, and he becomes a murderer. And he goes on the run, and he's fleeing. And God finds him and encounters him in the burning bush and introduces himself to him and says, get back there and face the music. And not just that, but get back there and lead my people out of slavery. And so he does. And he introduces the Passover. And he takes them through the Red Sea. And he gives them the commandments twice. And he leads them 40 years through the wilderness, 40 years. And they get to the brink of the promised land. And he falls at the last hurdle. So close, but so far. It's a remarkable life story, the story of Moses. And yet today we get this insight into the very real, very human, very inner thoughts that he had as he just comes and pours out his heart to God and looks to God for some kind of encouragement, some kind of assurance that God is with him. So today I just want to take you through Moses' encounter with God, the request of Moses, the glory of God, and the goodness of God, that should read as well at the end. So firstly, his request. Now Moses is incredibly open when he comes before God and he says, you've been telling me lead these people, but you've not told me who you will send me to help. You've said, I know you by name and you've found favor with me. Well, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Basically, Moses is coming to God and saying, you've promised to be with me and to lead me, so do it. You've promised that I'm your chosen person, so teach me your ways. You've promised that we are your people, so be our God. It's a great model for prayer. You know, what Moses does is take all the promises of God and just throw them back in his face. Kids are great at this, you know, but you said we could, but you said we would, but you promised, and then you know you're in trouble. They've got you. Yeah, I did. And that's what Moses is doing. He's saying, God, this is what you've said to me, this is what you've promised me, this is what you've assured me of, so do it. Throws God's promises back in his face. He's really pleading with God. And it gives us an insight into just how challenging it was for Moses to keep going, to keep trusting, to keep hanging in there. when lots of things would have made him want to stop. And yet Moses comes to God. And Moses finds that the right path for him, and often we think the right path is the easy path or the path of least resistance, and yet Moses finds the opposite. That the right path is the one God's called him to, and the right path is the one where he meets the most resistance, and the right path is the one where he is constantly challenged to rely back on the strength of God for him. Now, God listens to Moses' plea and he says, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest and I will do the thing that you've asked." God is reiterating his promise to Moses, assuring him of his presence. In other words, he's telling Moses what Moses already knows but needs to hear again and again. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I need this kind of reminding in my life. Human beings are very forgetful creatures, some of us more than others. And given the opportunity, we will forget about God and his promises and his presence and his peace, and we will leave ourselves susceptible to sin and to self-doubt and to trial and temptation and feeling basically just overwhelmed by the pressures of life. I think most people feel overwhelmed by the pressures of life. But what we do when we forget about God is we leave ourselves far more susceptible to that happening. Now, Moses' great example to us is not some kind of trouble-free existence where he's just blessed by God, strength to strength. In some ways, it's the opposite. But his example is his constant checking in with God and reliance on God at every point in the journey. That's his legacy. That's what we learn from him. Because you see, the result of this prayerful encounter that he has with God is that he is encouraged. And he is even emboldened. I mean, you look at the movement in his request. He goes from this point of stammering for words, "Help me, lead me, please find favor with me, something, anything." And then a moment later, "Now, show me your glory." How'd he get there? I mean, it's almost presumptuous that he would say such a thing. This is God working in him as he prays. This is God drawing him forward. Now, show me your glory. What's he talking about? Well, firstly, it is a bit presumptuous on his part. And 1 minute we need to be reminded that God is with us, that he's present, that he's there for us. The next minute we need to be reminded of our place. And Moses is just on the edge of overstepping the mark at this point. It's a good request in many ways to want to see, to want to experience the glory of God. It's a good thing. But it makes me think of, you remember the mother of James and John, and she comes to Jesus and says, "You know, I want my boys to be able to sit your left and right hand in the kingdom of God." And Jesus says to her, "Woman, you don't know what you're asking." And I get the same sense here with Moses. "Moses, you don't know what you're asking. Getting just a bit ahead of yourself. Show me your glory." Now, what is the glory of God? God's glory is his weightiness, his purity, his perfection. So it's often depicted as his brightness. That's his glory. Now, Israel got a taste of it. Do you remember at Sinai? Israel got a taste of it. And what did they do? They begged for no more. They begged that it be taken away. God's glory is a good thing, but the problem is when it comes face to face with sin, the two don't mix. They can't be held together. It's like oil and water. It can't happen. And so what God is saying to Moses, in effect, is you couldn't bear my glory. You think you want it, Isn't that the same for us? We think we want it. We think we want, you know, if just the veil was pulled back, if we could just see God just once, just show me what you really look like, then, you know, all the doubts would be taken away and we'd just be at peace with everything. And God says, no, you wouldn't. It would break you, not make you. And God has no interest in breaking us. That's not his work. Now, I think we know this on some level, and it's one of the reasons why we kind of avoid getting too close to God a lot of the time. And people talk like this. You know, people say to me, oh, if I walked into that church, the roof would fall in. The roof in my office actually fell in this week, and I hope it was for a different reason. We got it fixed, so don't worry about that. But, you know, people fear the encounter with God, right? They long for it and they fear it. And it's a strange dynamic that goes on in our life. But it's because we can't live with it and we can't live without it. And so we need this glory in some sense. And Moses knew that he needed this glory, that it was his greatest hope and his greatest encouragement, and it was his life's work. And so he longed for it. And so his request, even though it is a bit presumptuous, it begs a response. It begs something from God. And this is how God responds. The Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Notice my goodness. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And then there's this beautiful scene. It really is just this incredible verse or two in Scripture where, you know, God says to Moses, go stand on that rock, that solid place, and I'm going to hide you in a cleft, like a little cave or something like that. And I'm going to tuck you in there, and my glory is going to pass you by. And you'll get a glimpse of it. You'll see my back, says, but you can't see my face. So in one sense, God comes to the party and he listens to Moses and he gives Moses not what he wants, but what he needs. This is often the way with God, that he gives us not what we want, but what we need for the journey. A glimpse, a taste of his goodness. He proclaims his name. Now remember, this is the name he first proclaimed to Moses at the burning bush. It's the name by which Moses has access to God. And he reminds him of it. He reminds him of it. And Moses gets this glimpse of God's glory. He sees his back. Now, what are we supposed to make of the back of God? What does that mean? In one sense, we still see God's back. Because his back is his mediated glory. Kind of his concealed glory. It's just a glimpse of his glory. And we see it in his name, by which we still meet and we still access God. And we see it in his word, by which he teaches and instructs us. And we see it in his sacraments, where he meets us. And we see it in his people, through which he acts in the world. And this is where we get a glimpse of his glory. And mostly we see it in his Son, in whom we read the whole fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The whole fullness of God. We say, God, show us your glory. And God says, yeah, here it is. It's dwelling in him. You know, he's sometimes called the second Moses, or as one of my old lecturers used to say, he out Moses's Moses. He's a better Moses. Because he comes to bring grace and peace. And he stands between God and us. And he mediates. He talks back and forth, pleading with God on our behalf, asking for our forgiveness, and then turning to us and presenting the face of God to us and revealing the glory of God in a mediated way to us. The name above all names, the rock on which we stand, it's him. You know, it's his life story, it's Jesus' life story that helps us make sense of Moses' life story, and not just Moses' life story, but our life story. It's in him that it comes together. And he encourages us to press on. And he encourages us to press on through sin and self-doubt and trial and temptation and everything we experience, guided by his word and encouraged by his presence and emboldened by prayer towards our promised land in heaven, to the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Moses, our example. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our rock and our Redeemer. We pray that as we come to him, we would be encouraged. We would be encouraged to persevere. We would be encouraged to press on, regardless of the sin we have in our lives, which Moses had too, the self-doubt we have in our lives, which Moses had too, the trials and temptations we face. We pray that you would embolden us by prayer and encourage us by your presence to press on as your people in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.